You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, it can feel like privacy is a lost cause in the online world, but an internet expert makes the case that it doesn't have to be that way. We'll meet the author of The Fight for Privacy, Protecting Dignity, Identity, and Love in the Digital Age. First, it's the spring member drive here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Keely Boltina joins me now. At Wisconsin Public Radio, listener contributions are the largest source of funding. Your gift keeps the programs you value, including this one, on the air. Make your contribution right now online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Hey, Rob, do you like a challenge?
No, I'm pretty lazy and shiftless. But a lot of people do like an exciting challenge, I understand.
That's not the answer I was looking for, Rob Ferret.
When is it ever, Keely?
Valid point. Today is the start of a special two-day-long Public Media Giving Days movement. This challenge, it's a time to recognize the importance of, you know, nonprofit information, the importance of inspiration in our communities. And to celebrate this, a group of generous members is going to match all donations up to $60,000.
I do like that kind of challenge. It's their way of encouraging you to join the Public Media Giving Days movement by supporting the WPR programs that you and the whole state of Wisconsin rely on. Double the impact of your gift right now. Fantastic opportunity. Give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
We are public media. Federal and state tax dollars, which do come from listeners like you, provide important funding for WPR programs. However, voluntary listener contributions, those donations that you choose to make, are actually the biggest piece of support for WPR programs.
You make the difference. You make the quality, variety, and independence of programs on Wisconsin Public Radio possible. Because WPR matters to you, make a personal contribution to pay for the programs you listen to online at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And in addition to supporting the programs that you love for yourself, for your family, and for everyone else in the state, this member drive, you can ask for the new WPR glass tumbler, and you'll be able to use it throughout the day. You can put a variety of beverages in. It's your choice. It will be your go-to glass, though. It's got a really nice weight to it. I think that's important when choosing glassware, don't you, Rob?
Yeah,
absolutely. So make room in your drinkware cabinet. Ask for your WPR glass tumbler with a gift of $12 a month or more today. You can give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Think about everything you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio, the news, the conversations here. A lot of preparation goes into that, a lot of behind-the-scenes work. We do our homework so that you get the highest quality possible radio programs. Show your commitment to that quality. Commit right now when you make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
These teams work so hard every day and always asking themselves, how does this benefit the audience? How can we serve the people? The programs you hear on WPR make a difference in your life. That's why you're listening right now. It's why you listen every day. During this spring member drive, we're asking you to support your radio home.
Listeners who value public radio give what they can to support it. That's how it works. If you're already a member, thank you so much for making Wisconsin Public Radio possible. If you haven't become a member yet, make today the day you become one. Make your first ever gift. Maybe it's $100 in one shot. Maybe it's $5 or $10 a month. Give the amount that's right for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, when you give $10 a month, today that means WPR gets $20 a month because our Public Media Giving Days challenge is in effect. You can celebrate independent public media when you give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
Get that WPR glass tumbler when you make a gift of $12 a month or more in support of WPR programs. It's a cool-looking glass. It'll remind you every time you use it how much you value WPR. Ask for yours at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Eric in Manitowoc says, I donate because it's critical to our democracy that we have access to objective and accurate reporting. Eric, thank you so much for recognizing how hard we work on behalf of you and everyone else in Wisconsin. Thank you for your support. And now is the time to join Eric.
Make that gift. Join Eric and thousands of other current members of Wisconsin Public Radio. Join in at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for stepping up in support of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. In the online world, it can feel like privacy is a lost cause. Technology companies find out a lot about us. Everything from our health data to dating site info to private messages with romantic partners aren't entirely our own. And there's a growing problem with non-consensual pornography, with our most private moments captured, posted online, used sometimes for extortion, humiliation, and abuse. Our next guest says we have yet to grasp the scale of that invasion of our intimate privacy and that U.S. law often fails to keep up. She calls for elevating that privacy as a fundamental right and turning to civil rights law as a way to give us back control over our own information. Danielle Citrin is a distinguished professor of law at the University of Virginia, where she teaches about privacy, free expression, and civil rights. She's director of the university's Law Tech Center. Her newest book is The Fight for Privacy, Protecting Dignity, Identity, and Love in the Digital Age. Danielle, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me back.
The book centers around this concept of intimate privacy. What do you mean by that?
So it's the privacy, it's information and access to our bodies, our health, our innermost thoughts, which of course we don't realize, but we document all day long on our, you know, our reading, our browsing, our searching, all of our digital communications, and then our closest relationships.
We, I think, sometimes accept a loss of privacy as the price of entry into the online world. Does it have to be that way?
It doesn't have to be, and it shouldn't be. You know, we, you know, go to the restroom and use hotel, you know, bedrooms and bathrooms. And we kind of all the while we expect and we deserve privacy around our, you know, our bodies and our, you know, our physical selves. And the same is true when we, you know, use search engines to figure out medicines that we want to take, or we look and we read on WebMD about our health conditions. At the same time, we are expecting privacy and we deserve privacy, but so often we don't get it.
You just mentioned a couple of the main categories you focus on in your book. I want to start with that second one, the information that gets accumulated on us when we use reward points at a pharmacy or do a medical search or participate in a dating site. You talk about when people go and get information that's collected by these data companies we haven't heard of. Can you talk about how extensive a dossier exists, probably about each and every one of us at this point?
Oh, yeah. So I would say that most, there are about 10,000 data brokers, and about 98% of all Americans have dossiers held by these companies, and they have over 10,000 data points on each and every one of us. Now, you might say to me, like, how is that possible? I'm not that interesting. But what is, you know, everything that we do and all the traces of our online lives, whether it's the, you know, our activities on our dating and our health apps, our searches, our location, where we're going, tells us a story about, you know, we're ranked and rated and scored. Have we ever been a rape victim? Have we ever had terminated pregnancy, had a miscarriage? Have we ever had, you know, high blood pressure? What's our risk of getting a chronic disease, like, let's say, type 1 diabetes or type 2 diabetes? And so data brokers have data points that suggest so many different aspects of our lives, our sexual orientation, our deepest interest, whether we're sex toy users, how often we use adult sites. The list goes on and on. I'm just trying to give some, sure, you know, some examples, right, of just how invasive, how much of a story data broker dossiers tell about us in ways that we would never kind of expect and in ways that we have no control over.
Okay, now we worry sometimes about a data breach, right? All that stuff falling into the wrong hands illegally. Set that aside. Who are the customers for this data? What are people legally doing with these massive troves of data about all of us?
Some of the biggest clients of data brokers are law enforcement. So state, federal, and local law enforcement, using it to detect all crimes, all hazards, and all risks. And of course, not just law enforcement, but employers, life insurance companies, hiring services. There are third-party hiring services that detect, you know, that sort of run their algorithms through vast databases of resumes. Those hiring services, so not the employers themselves, are making recommendations to employers about the people to hire. So it's, you know, you name the industry, besides advertisers and marketers, they're buying those data broker dossiers.
What kind of legal changes would you like to see, or maybe changes in the way companies do business that give us, I don't know, more say, more control over where all that data gets used?
So I want to move us away from the notion that sort of control is the answer, and for us to understand intimate information in our intimate lives as implicating, you know, a moral right, a fundamental human right and civil right, which would mean that rather than kind of leaving it up to individuals and consumers to make choices, which at scale we really can't do, it's really hard with, you know, the 10,000 data brokers are just the tip of the iceberg of the extent to which our information is being collected, you know, used and sold. And so if we understood intimate privacy as a civil right, that would sort of, right now our presumption is that you can collect anything you want, you can share it, and you can use it so long as you have some warning in your privacy policy that frankly no one reads, you know, in the bottom of your web page. I'd like us to flip that presumption. If we understood our intimate data as implicating our civil rights, that is the rights that all of us enjoy and have important structural protections against discrimination, what that would mean is that when a powerful entity has power over our civil rights, it means that that entity is understood as the caretaker of those rights. They are the stewards of those rights. And so you can't, if you understand intimate privacy as implicating our civil rights, it would mean that anyone, individuals, companies, governments, interacting with our intimate information would have to be the guardians of that data. And some of the time that would mean you can't collect it. You can't collect, you know, if you're a data guardian, if you don't strictly need data, you need a darn good reason to implicate and to undermine intimate privacy. So if you don't have a good reason to collect data, then you just shouldn't collect it. And it would also mean a civil right to intimate privacy would also mean that the guardians, so individuals, companies, governments, would have to treat that data with a duty of loyalty to us and care, and with protections against discrimination.
We're talking to Danielle Citrin, author of the new book, The Fight for Privacy, Protecting Dignity, Identity, and Love in the Digital Age. Danielle, another big focus of the book is on non-consensual pornography. It is a shorthand that covers a lot of ground. Can you talk about what that is and how prevalent it is?
Sure. So the non-consensual invasions of our intimate privacy can cover things like non-consensual taping someone in the bedroom or bathroom. It can cover extorting nude images from someone, sort of threatening to release your intimate images, upskirt down blouse photos, so taking a photo up your skirt without your permission. It can include the non-consensual disclosure of intimate information, often, as you said, well, you know, described this as non-consensual pornography. It's sort of the best shorthand term we have for it. And in all of those ways, and many others, one's intimate images or intimate life is being invaded and violated without their permission. And when that information, often their, you know, intimate images are posted online, it can be really difficult to both get and keep a job. Your peace of mind is shot, your sense of safety. When, you know, your nude images are posted online, you often sort of think of yourself as being kind of, people see you as just a fragment of yourself. You know, you're just your genitals, you're just your, you know, breasts. And it can be really hard to have that sense of safety and security back.
And you talk to people who had been victims of various kinds of things you just mentioned. And one problem seems to be law enforcement and the law, in large part, really haven't kept up with this and offer not a lot of options to someone who's a victim.
That's right. So, you know, folks go, so I interviewed 60 people from the United States, mostly the United Kingdom, Iceland, India, and Australia. And I have to say, our response or lack of response in the United States, they're the same problems across the globe. And unfortunately, very similar sort of failure to respond from law enforcement across the globe. And it is kind of a combination of lack of training with regard to laws and the fact that so many, to the extent that law covers non-consensual intimate, you know, abusive intimate images, it's a misdemeanor. And it's just not worth law enforcement's time to do anything about it. And then you might think, okay, well, what about the platforms? You know, they're going to respond either to, you know, to lawsuits and pressure, but they're immune from responsibility thanks to Section 230 of the Decency Act. So it's victims often say to me and have said to me, they just feel like so unprotected because they turn to law enforcement and they're told nothing can be done. They even consider suing their attackers to the extent that they know who they are, and they don't have money to sue. And most lawyers aren't, you know, don't provide low bono or pro bono services for this kind of work. And there's no deep pocket. And so it's really difficult to get a lawyer to represent you on a contingency basis. You know, they would if there's a deep pocket, but not here. You know, platforms are totally immune from responsibility for the most part. And so there are 9,500 sites whose raison d'etre is intimate image abuse. And, you know, they make money from the collection of data and advertising and some subscription services. Like, they have very uncreative names like Hidden Cam and Hidden Camera or Mr. Deepfakes. And they make money off, you know, out of exploiting people's intimate, you know, the most intimate moments and exploiting them.
You share one success story in the book, getting search engines to not point toward searches toward those sites you just mentioned. Can you talk about how that happened?
Yes. It's, you know, whenever you write about something that has great frustration for most people who undergo intimate privacy violations, there are some bright stories. So I worked with then Attorney General Kamala Harris. In 2015, she put together a cyber exploitation task force. And she gathered companies together. You know, she was in Silicon Valley. And so 50 companies came together to meet to talk about the exploitation of people's nude images without their consent. And so often the complaint to AG Harris and to me was, we want these images out of searches in our names. And at the time at this meeting, you know, Google was saying, listen, we don't touch our search engine. We will, there's nothing we're going to do to our algorithms to address this problem. And after the work of the task force and Google joining that effort along with Microsoft, so Microsoft Bing, in about 6 months after, you know, as we were doing our work, Google and Bing announced, as well as Yahoo, that they would de-index non-consensual intimate image and images in searches of people's names. Now, the images would still remain online. They'd still be on those, you know, vile sites devoted to intimate image abuse. But it wouldn't be in a search of their name, so that, you know, future dates, future employers, friends, you know, so often people Google you before they ever meet you. And so it was such a relief to victims to have some sense that at least they could minimize some of the damage.
And briefly, as we wrap up, Danielle, that is one of a handful of examples where you say it's worth people fighting to make these changes because they do happen.
That's right. I mean, we have seen progress, not only with regard to law enforcers like when AG Harris, but also we've seen legislative promise in countries like South Korea, sort of wholesale reform of their laws and support for victims. So I have to say, I know I can be a bit of a Pollyanna, but I'm not giving up hope. I think, you know, if together we can pressure companies to bring our sort of moral suasion to bear, and we can work on lawmakers to make a difference.
Danielle, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you so much.
That's Danielle Citrin, law professor at the University of Virginia. We talked about her new book. It's called The Fight for Privacy, Protecting Dignity, Identity, and Love in the Digital Age. Coming up, are you a big spring cleaner? Or maybe you would be one if you had the motivation. The currently inflated costs of many goods may have some people more reluctant than usual to purge stuff. We'll get advice from an expert on health, finances, and self-improvement. Now it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive. Keely Boltina is with me, and our goal in this drive is to make sure that you keep getting your favorite programs like Central Time.
And your gift of any amount is so important because your support provides the largest piece of the funding here at WPR. It is money that listeners choose to donate that funds these programs significantly. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's a great time to give because when you make a gift now during public media giving days, your support will go twice as far for WPR's essential service. All gifts up to $60,000 over these 2 days will be doubled thanks to a generous group of current members.
Incredible. This challenge is their way to inspire your support of the programs that you and your entire community rely on. Let's meet this challenge. Your gift right now of any amount makes a difference. So give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 2552.
In that last conversation, we heard about a problem a couple of big problems, actually, when it comes to our privacy and our identity and even our intimate lives when it comes to the world of the internet. But the conversation didn't stop there. We talked to someone who offers solutions both for individuals and for changes to the systems that allow that to happen. This is the kind of conversation, not just the problem, but where we go, how we work through it, that you can count on here on Central Time.
This is what the Ideas Network is built upon, and it's listener-supported. WPR happens because you give. Your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics that you hear every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
Whether you've given before, maybe lots of times before, or you're making your first ever donation, sign up for ongoing monthly gifts.
You get to decide the amount that you want to contribute to WPR, the amount that it's worth for you and that you can afford, and then you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It takes just a few minutes, and once it's set up, your support for the programs you value is always current.
Let's think about why to give right now. Give now because you're listening right now and you're thinking about it right now.
And you'll feel good when you do. WPR is an important public service, and you'll be making an investment in quality music, entertainment, news, and talk.
And we will use your donation very well, putting it into the programs that you hear every day. Support WPR right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Our Public Media Giving Days Challenge is in effect. Celebrate independent public media when you give now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
Kathy in McFarland says, every time I'm in the car, I'm listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. What would I do without you? Kathy, thank you so much. What would we do without you? We need you to join Kathy in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Give now, WPR.org, or 888-202-2552, and thank you. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. Coming up, find out how to be better at spring cleaning and how to navigate concerns you might have over restocking and paying higher prices because of inflation. First, Kaylee Boltina is with me for the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive. You count on the Ideas Network for great conversations. We count on you to help keep those conversations on the air.
Listener support is the largest piece of the funding that makes this program and all of the others you enjoy possible. That's why your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
It's Public Media Giving Day. Over the next 2 days, join the nationwide movement to recognize the importance of nonprofit public media. All gifts over these 2 days, up to $60,000 are going to be doubled thanks to a generous group of current members.
And I have good news, Rob.
I like good news.
And
tell me.
Not that we're counting or anything, but we have $28,842 left to raise in that match. So we are doing really well. And your gift right now helps immensely. Donate any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and you'll join in this exciting challenge.
I'm doing some quick maths here, Keely. Oof. That means we're over halfway to that challenge already, if I'm doing the numbers right.
I think you got it. And the bravery of doing math on live radio, very impressive, Ferret.
It was really complicated math. Now, on this Public Media Giving Day, think about what you get from the Ideas Network. You hear diverse viewpoints from a lot of different guests, and callers bring their unique perspectives, their life experiences of the conversation. Because there's so much great food for thought on these programs, you may find yourself starting conversations with, yesterday on WPR, I heard such and such. Well, if that's you, it's time to take some action. Participate in making this show happen. Join the team with your support at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
If that's you, it's all of us. It really is. As the donor, the other cool thing is that you get to decide how much you give when you support WPR. Maybe $10 a month is right for you. Maybe $100 or $200 a month is the right amount for you.
That might be what you spend each month on takeout or entertainment, for example. Things you enjoy, things that make life better, just like listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. The big thing is that you decide what amount is right for you and then make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Introducing the newest addition to your drinkware collection, the WPR Glass Tumbler. Show off your support for WPR while enjoying your favorite beverage from this high-quality 11-ounce glass. Whether it's for your morning iced coffee or a relaxing nightcap, add some elegance to the experience when you ask for your WPR Glass Tumbler with your gift of $12 a month or more. Here's how.
Make your gift and pick up the brand new WPR glass at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your gift. Rob Ferret here with Keely Boltina on Central Time. Your support during this spring member drive makes the WPR programs you count on possible. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, really does make a difference.
Giving to WPR is super easy. All we need is your name, contact information, the amount of your gift, and how you want to pay.
It takes just a few minutes to get it started, to make your contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio. Those few minutes then will fund your daily listening. You'll get to listen along and know, hey, I helped make this happen. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your gift of $10 or $20 a month makes intelligent radio available to the entire state of Wisconsin and even beyond. You can see why your gift is really powerful.
And that big impact really is accomplished in just a few minutes. Give now online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Our Public Media Giving Days challenge is in effect right now. Celebrate independent public media when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And your support is doubled. Your support of WPR goes twice as far.
A great reason to give today. Another good reason, the new WPR Glass Tumbler. You can ask for yours with a gift of $12 a month or more in support of WPR programs. Every time you take a sip out of it, you'll think about how awesome WPR is and how awesome you are for helping support WPR. Great reasons to give. Ask for your glass, $12 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you're a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, thank you so much. Consider making today the day you increase your support of WPR. Perhaps it's by $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose. Do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And when you increase your gift, your first year of contributions is matched.
Sadie in Portage says WPR ensures that I stretch my mind every day, whether it's learning new facts or hearing another person's opinion. Sadie, thank you so much. How about you make your gift, get it matched, grab that glass at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and thank you. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We are squarely into the season of spring, and if you haven't already participated in the annual domestic tradition of spring cleaning, that's okay. There's still time, and we've got some advice coming up for you. And this year, there's an added wrinkle of inflation, which might make some of us reluctant to get rid of stuff we might otherwise want to upgrade or replace. Our next guest is here with some helpful suggestions. Christine Whelan is a clinical professor in the School of Human Ecology at UW-Madison, where she teaches classes on happiness and well-being. She's also the founding director of the Money, Relationships, and Equality Initiative. Christine, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Now, I know it can vary from year to year. In general, do you see yourself as a spring cleaning kind of person, Christine?
I am indeed. You know, they say that if you organize just one drawer, you can organize the world. And quite frankly, for me, it's true. I really do love organizing.
Let's talk about that small idea, because if I go into, say, my basement and I look at the whole basement and I'm going to do a cleaning of this whole area, forget about it. I'm going to get demoralized. Nothing's going to happen. If I pick this corner or this shelf, I can get something done. Can you talk about the value of tackling that little thing, at least to start?
There's a lot of research that tells us that if you want to do something big, You know, just like that old phrase, if you want to eat an elephant, one bite at a time. Well, if you want to do that spring cleaning, I know nobody wants to eat an elephant. But if instead, if you want to clean that basement, you got to clean it one shelf at a time, right? And so the research suggests that when you do something small and you complete it, it gives you a sense of accomplishment and boosts your sense of self-efficacy, the idea that you can accomplish something even bigger. And so those small steps really take a daunting task and hopefully take it into a kind of a pleasurable exploration of what possibilities you could have if you just tackle that one small thing.
Before we dig into some of the hows and whys of spring cleaning a little more, let's talk about, you know, maybe some unusual circumstances. We've got inflation here. You know, sometimes if you want to get rid of stuff, you're not planning to replace it. But sometimes you are, and we might worry, yeah, those inflation numbers are down a little, but stuff still seems to cost a little more. How do you factor that in our decisions of whether and what to get rid of?
Well, inflation has hit us in different places, depending on what room of the house you're looking at. So inflation's really hit hard in terms of food prices and potentially a little bit less so in terms of clothing prices. But if we're spending a lot more of our budget feeding the family, then the idea of buying new clothes just to keep up with the trends may seem a little unnecessary. So then as we're looking at our overstuffed closets, we might say, gosh, you know, should I not be giving away things? Should I not be donating? Should I instead hold on to things? Rather than that, it's probably a good idea to still do that spring cleaning anyway, and know that we don't, in fact, need to have closets chock full of a lot of this stuff. And we may have some mental gain in terms of our stress levels and our decision-making getting ready in the morning if we have fewer choices to make.
And you shared the phrase with us before the interview of a passive expenditure related to having too much stuff. What do we mean by that?
Oh, goodness. So many millions of Americans have all sorts of passive expenditures in terms of how we store our stuff. It's just shocking how many of us rent storage units that we never visit, that in fact, we may not even know what's in them as a way to store stuff. Or those of us who don't even get to park our cars in our garages because we have them all chock full of things. And these actually can take a real toll on us. So rather than accumulating more things, especially paying for the accumulation of things, one way that we can think about spring cleaning is to say, can I clean out that storage unit so I can save $80 to $100 a month on it? Or perhaps even looking at your subscriptions. You know, sometimes there are all these passive drains on our bank account, whether it is a streaming service that we don't use, or a magazine that we don't even realize we can still subscribe to. So looking through those kind of passive spending is a way to spring clean our bank account as well as spring clean our stuff.
Christine Whelan is with us from the School of Human Ecology at UW-Madison talking about spring cleaning. Christine, I can think of a lot of reasons looking at our stuff why we wouldn't get rid of things because I have said these things out loud. Here's one. I might need that. And so, and I'm proud of myself. I've gone from like three bags of random wires down to one. How do we overcome that? Well, it could potentially be useful at some point in the future. Who knows?
Well, it's challenging because sometimes we actually might need it. Mm-hmm. And the idea of having to go out and buy something again after we have gotten rid of it, oh, that's a punch in the gut.
Right.
However, you can also usually borrow it, and there are other ways forward. Now, the challenge is that when we have something that is a thing on the shelf at the store, when we buy it, it becomes potentially part of our history. We remember the time that we bought it, potentially with a loved one. We have a story behind it. And then things have emotional resonance. Or perhaps things were purchased aspirationally. We wanted to be the kind of person that would use this thing and to get rid of it. Ooh, that can be a bit of an indictment about who we actually are. So things really do have stories behind them. And letting go of some of those stories and the psychological weight can be something that's kind of the tough part about spring cleaning.
Yeah. What do we do about that? Because I've had that one too.
Yeah, well, so you think you've got to ask yourself some questions about that. For example, when I see a bunch of stuff that I don't use, that I feel like I should use, it doesn't make me feel good. If I can get rid of that stuff, give it away to somebody who will use it, then I actually feel lighter. I don't have that clutter and those sort of psychological demands on me when I look into a particular room. Now, that's me personally, but let's take my father. He always wanted to keep everything because you never know when you'll need it. And he prided himself on being able to find it. My mother, of course, would try to throw out everything out from under him. So we all have our stories around these things. And there's a lot of history that we may have to look at, too.
Now, we might be in a situation where we're out of our depth. We can't overcome some of the psychology of it there, or maybe we're cleaning up the stuff that a loved one left behind, or, you know, we've just saved too much stuff. It's out of hand. When do we turn to an outside party, a third party, to maybe help us out there?
If you're feeling overwhelmed, if this is stressing you out, certainly there are people who can help. You can ask a friend or a relative to help you, or you can find one of the many professionals out there who will help you do some organizing. So it is something that we shouldn't be afraid to talk about, because we do, as a society, have a lot of stuff. And while that can be a blessing, it also can get overwhelming. And new beginnings this time of year, it might be a new beginning to start a little bit lighter as we go forward into summer.
You know, it's they call it spring cleaning. I kind of, honestly, I do little bits and pieces as I get motivated any time of year. Is there something magical or special about picking that season and, you know, the season of renewal and whatnot to tackle these kind of projects?
Well, historically, this was a time when we would open all the windows after winter and sweep the soot out after our fires that kept us warm all winter long. So that's where this came from. Now, hopefully, we don't have as much soot dust in our house, but we still do have the idea of letting some fresh air in. And as we see the trees beginning to bloom, new beginnings are really in the air. And as a society, we very much like new beginnings. We want to embrace them. And that is a sign of hope. And we don't want to lose that. So let's be a hopeful spring cleaner and really bring in the new.
I want to spend some time on a topic. Again, you let our producer know about the idea of consuming happiness. What do you mean by that? How does it affect us?
So I teach a class called Consuming Happiness at the University of Wisconsin at Madison in the School of Human Ecology. And it's about how we use our limited resources of time and money and environmental resources to maximize our well-being. And, you know, you're having your member drive right now, and this is such a prime example of consuming happiness, because I define thrift in the modern sense as using your limited resources to maximize your well-being in keeping with your values, but not just for yourself, but for the social good. So the idea of pro-social spending in a thrifty way to benefit others, you know, that's kind of public radio, and that's consuming happiness in my book.
Yeah, I think people might hear a phrase consuming happiness and have a negative response like, wait, consumption, isn't that supposed to be kind of bad? But if we do it thoughtfully, it sounds like we can get more value out of it.
Well, we're all consumers. And, you know, we have this idea you can't buy happiness. And what I like to say is, well, you can if you spend your money right, but it's not on things. Rather, it's on experiences and things that you can, pro-social experiences you can share with others, really building relationships, doing things in keeping with your values. So it's a really fun class that is incredibly popular. It's sort of known as the happy class. And since we're all consumers, thinking about how to do this consciously, ethically, and in keeping with our values is something that I think is really important for the next generation to learn.
Christine, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us again.
Thank you. Great to be on, as always.
That's Christine Whelan, clinical professor in the School of Human Ecology at UW-Madison. She's with us today to talk about spring cleaning, how inflation can factor in, and how even a little bit of cleaning can bring us some joy. Now it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive. Keely Boltina joins me, and we're here to ask you to invest just a few minutes of time to support your Wisconsin Public Radio listening.
Listener support makes up the largest piece of the funding for the programs that you count on. That's why your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
Make a gift now during public media giving days, and your support will go twice as far for WPR's essential service. All gifts up to $60,000 over these 2 days will be doubled thanks to a generous group of current members.
This challenge is their way of inspiring your support of the programs that you and your entire community rely on. We are just about halfway through that match. Please help us keep up the momentum. This is an opportunity, and now is the time. Let's meet this challenge. Your gift of any amount now makes a big difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Just got some great advice. Always love talking to Christine Whelan. She has practical advice often that helps us manage parts of our lives, but also very thoughtful and trying to figure out, okay, what do I value in life? What is important to me? How do I align my behavior with those values, with what's important, my relationships, the way I spend my money, and so on? It's a great example of the thoughtful and still practical conversations you can count on here on Central Time.
WPR is listener supported. These conversations are listener supported. Your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the topics you tune in for every day possible. Choose an amount that fits your budget, that works for you, that is the number at which you value WPR, and then make your gift.
This member drive toast to WPR with your new tumbler. This cool glass features a sound wave design and a shout out to your favorite station. Ask for your tumbler when you give $12 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
One of the benefits of having an IRA is that you can take your required minimum distribution in the form of a gift to Wisconsin Public Radio. The IRA charitable rollover is a convenient and tax-free way to support the news, information, and music you rely on each day. Talk with your financial advisor or visit WPR.org/support to learn more. Make a difference today. Thank you.
Make that difference right now. Online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 during the spring member drive. Central Time, Rob Ferret here with Keely Boltina. The WPR programs you enjoy are all possible thanks to your support. Your gift of $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, makes a big difference for you and for our entire community.
I get to share a number that's really humbling to me. Wisconsin has access to quality news and talk and entertainment because 50,000 individuals and households choose to support WPR.
Wisconsin Public Radio really does work on the honor system. We don't bill you when you turn on the radio or listen on the computer or the app. It's free to you as long as you want it. But with the honor system, you can join this team effort with your gift right now of maybe $10 a month. You decide the amount, then make your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
If you've never given before, don't worry. We're not going to judge you. You just look forward to listening to WPR every day, and that is a sign that it's time to donate. When you spend that much time here with us at WPR, it means that it's important to you.
And you are important to us because WPR is listener-supported radio. We count on financial participation from people like you, people who care about independent news and conversations and entertainment. Your gift of maybe $100 or of $10 a month, whatever amount feels right to you, really makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now is the time. We have a match challenge right now. It is public media giving days, and that match is in effect so you can double your donation. Celebrate independent public media. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR goes twice as far.
And if you give $12 a month, ask for the new WPR glass tumbler. First time out there on this drive. It's a great way to enjoy a great beverage while you're listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. Ask for yours when you give $12 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You can also take the set it and forget it and be proud of it approach. If you're not a sustainer, become one now. You can set up convenient monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. It's easy to do at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And your first year of contributions will be matched right now.
David in Fitchburg says, from childhood to my first job, WPR has been there for me. I'm so happy to finally be able to give back. Much love to you all. David, thanks so much. How about you? Join David, support public radio. WPR.org is the website, or call 888-202-2552. And thank you.